And on today's Windy City Careercast, I'm all a Twitter, and Deb Pierce is following me. We tell you about some of the gay icons that were nominated for Tony Awards, what you can win if you come to Windy City Gay Idol semifinals and finals, plus the announcement that you'll see Deb Pierce there. Also, the news, it includes Heidi Klum, so does my Twitter, and Richard Knight Jr., he's been waiting a long, long time for this much-anticipated Little Ashes, watching Robert Pattinson do some homoerotic stuff, playing Salvador Dali in the new film. He can't wait to review it. Did it all live up to his expectations? And we have Aditi Brennan Kapil. She is a playwright. Her new play is called Love Person, that explores languages and how we can fall in love with people not regardless of gender, sexual orientation, or even if we speak the same language. And I have a big announcement about who's on the next Queercast. He's back.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
I've been talking to the wall and it's been answering me. Oh, darling, how I miss you. I'm just a mere shadow of my former selfishness. I crave the silhouette of your kiss. With only the blue light of the TV on, lip-reading threats and false alarms. There's a boy somewhere holding hands with himself and a girl in a window on the Reaper bar. Whenever I put my foot in my mouth and you begin to doubt that it's you that I'm dreaming about, do I have to draw your diagram? All I ever want is just to fall into your human hands.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 302. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Deb Pierce.
Hello, Deb.
Hi, Amy. How goes the battle?
Hey, it's really been a beautiful week here in Chicagoland, I got to tell you.
Getting up there in temperature as well here. It's beautiful. Things are blooming, and I know that because my eyes are itchy. Yay!
Aww. So you had like a transatlantic, well, not really. You just had like a jump-the-border experience with one of our winners of the trip to Toronto at Gay Idol or Gays Got Talent. I'm not sure which it was. Came up and hung out with you at the studio.
Yes, it was Gay Idol. You'll remember a T-shirt was made from Toronto Tourism and said, I want a trip to Toronto. Mary Timmons was the big winner. It seems like a long time ago last June was. And she was our audience winner, all expenses paid and accommodations. And part of it was to see and tour Proud FM. And she did. She brought her friend Michael McKinley, and they had a blast.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was great. But she was actually in Chicago, visiting Chicago, but living in California. So this was a really big trip for her, and they just had a great time. They couldn't talk enough about Gay Idol. And, of course, I said, you know, the finals are June 13th, and I'm coming down for them. And they're like, is it that time already? Because it's almost been a year.
I know. And we should say that two other lucky people, if you come to the semifinals and the finals, May 30th and June 13th, could win a trip to come up and visit Toronto. And hopefully
and
we can work
visit.
In that little trip to meet you and hang out at Proud FM.
Yeah, I didn't get them on the air, but I said their name because they came in later than I thought. I said, come in anytime after 6 a.m., but the regular person comes in around 9:15, where my show is pretty much almost wrapped up. But they got some free stuff, so enter the draw and try to win, and you'll get some free stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, so you're dealing with allergies, huh?
I'm dealing with allergies and a little bit of fatigue, and I'm feeling really ripped off because it's such a beautiful time of year where everything's blossoming, but right now I'm just feeling run down. I am feeling, I don't stop. I know you can relate.
Yeah.
A lot of listeners out there can relate. But I really don't stop. I've got a couple of jobs. I have about 4 to 6 hours sleep a night. I still put in about 20 kilometers of running a week, and I'm just, my body's saying, stop for a minute.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop for the day after we talk, and that's it for me.
Yeah, no, my body's not running 20 kilometers. My body's going, don't you even think about it, little Missy. That's what my body says. Not at all.
No.
Well, you have a big week. That's, you know, this is like kind of an exciting week because you're in the middle of the International Lesbian and Gay Travel Association up there in Toronto. So queer travel people from all over the world are descending upon Toronto, and I had hoped to be up there, and it just didn't work because...
why is that? I
had the big Wonka Ball, the About Face Theater Wonka Ball this week, and...
Okay.
Windy City Media Group and Tracy Baim were awarded the very prestigious Michael Lepin Award. And that was something I really didn't want to miss, and a fantastic time.
Congratulations to you guys.
Yes, Tracy Baim celebrating 25 years in gay media, which is just insane to me. And seeing that I'm 25.
Right, and it seems like the day you were born, gay media
she started,
was also
yeah, gays and media began. Exactly.
Hold on to it, Amy. Hold on to it.
Exactly. Hold on to the dream.
Yes.
So I had that this week, and another dear friend turning 30. And, you know, sometimes those are just special events. I've been to Toronto. I know I can come anytime. And
you're more than welcome. You know that.
With my good friend Deb Pierce. I have to tell you a funny thing about age, though.
Okay.
We texted you this week. Cynthia, Sin, our, by the way, bisexual.
Yeah.
And all-around good-time girl who helps run our gay idol events, Sin, texted me while I was walking my dog a few days ago and said, you know, hey, I just saw this huge gay idol sign down here at SoFo and Tees and hanging out. And I don't normally do this, but I was like, Kelly was working, and I said, hey, why don't I – where are you specifically? I was thinking of maybe coming and having a drink, and – so I ended up going down and meeting Sin.
Cynthia never has a drink, but go on.
Cynthia, don't tell tales on a podcast. But we got there and we saw Lee, who had been our bartendress extraordinaire while you were here.
Oh, that's right. What was the name of that bar again?
Tease,
right.
Where all the lesbos hang out after they play softball and various other sundry sports.
I know.
I told Cynthia I wanted an entire podcast, by the way, on do bisexual women watch softball or play softball? Discuss.
I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I think they just watch it. So anyhow, Lee was there, and she was very excited about you coming back. But we were sitting with one of Cynthia's friends.
Oh, you're just saying that because you know I want to hear it.
No, well, yeah, no.
yes, go on.
So anyhow, she's cute as a bug.
She is totally cute.
So, and we're going to have, next week is our big SoFo event. We're going to be at SoFo for the first time ever, which is kind of more a guy bar, but they're advertising it at both. We hope, it's a block away from Tees, so we're hoping that the guys and girls will both meet and compete May 14th at SoFo.
Good luck. Yeah.
But, so we're sitting with one of Cynthia's friends, Julie. Who somehow, when she drinks beer, it's almost like she's smoking pot. She gets ravenous. It's the funniest, cutest thing I've ever seen. But anyhow, so they're talking about something, and we're talking about my affinity for older women.
Right.
And Julie's like, I've dated older women. And I'm like, oh, really? We were doing a bit of, like, you know, measuring our dicks with each other. Just a little bit.
Kissing,
you know,
contest,
just a little posturing
here.
Yeah. And because we were both fighting over the fact that Diane Lane's in our top three. And I was like, you can't have Diane Lane, blah, blah, blah. It became a whole argument. She'd had a few beers and a lot of burgers. And so me, I'd only had one gin and tonic. So I was totally of right mind to take down this win.
Yeah.
So
this is hilarious.
It's hilarious. So anyhow, she's saying, like, I've had older women, blah, 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 blah. And I said, so how much older? I said, you haven't had older women. She goes, yes, I have. I said, how much older? She goes, 4 years. And I
just
started laughing.
Not even older. That's the same high school if you're going to school together.
I said, oh, baby. Mm-hmm. So we had this whole conversation, and she was like, well, how old are you, 50? And Cynthia was like, oh, my God.
Did she say that to you?
Yeah, she was. She was teasing. And then I said, how old do you think I am? And she said, 28.
And
I was like, I almost went home and slept with Julie and was the oldest woman she'd ever been with. Let me just say that right there. Hilarious.
Wow. What is the biggest age range for you?
16 years.
Mine has been 12, but the other direction.
Oh, cradle robber.
Yeah, younger.
Yeah, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Why?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The language of love only goes older for me. It does not go younger.
Oh, I didn't say anything about love.
Okay. The language of lust. We had that conversation as well.
Yeah, no, actually, it was a relationship for a number of years, and it made sense at the time perfectly.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I was with somebody 16 years older. I was 21. They were 37.
Oh, see, that is hot. That is, I'm in the middle of closing my eyes, hot.
Me at 21?
All of it.
See, with boys, they would call it like a daddy, or they have kind of dirty names for it. And I don't think that women really do.
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, we do?
Well, I did because I was with a tranny. So it was a total daddy boy thing at times.
Now, see, you're going to have Alexander Billings on the throwdown with that word.
What?
The tranny word.
Oh, why? What do you mean?
We had a whole show, and it's so funny. I'm so aware of it now. Like, who feels comfortable saying that word and who doesn't? And, you know, RuPaul is all into that word. Obviously, Christian from Project Runway.
Yeah, that's different, though. That's different. I was really with a tranny in the process, like preoperative transgender person.
Yeah.
So it's pretty stealth now. So, but at the time was trans and is now just completely male identified.
Yeah, Alex just hates the word, and she's transgendered, so she thinks it's awful. She's like, don't you catch in your throat just a little bit before you say it? Don't after you say it, you just feel a little something. If you do, you shouldn't say it. And I'm like, but everybody says it. She's like, yeah, it's not a good thing. I don't know. You have to listen to that podcast. It's an interesting one.
It is. I will go back and listen to it. I don't think, certainly words are about intention, right?
Right.
And my intention around tranny was that I was dating a trans.
No. I hear you. I hear you. I am just... It's just interesting. It's compelling.
Yeah.
She's right.
Yeah, but it's
really
also, it's
a hot button word.
It's a hot button topic. It's a hot word right now. And I can see where Alexander's coming with that, for sure.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it actually is a great segue into the fact that today, can words, can language, can that be power enough to make us fall in love? Can that be enough to be a connector, even if we don't understand the other language that the other person is speaking? There is a new play by Aditi Brennan Khalil that is coming to Victory Gardens. And at the center of this relationship is a deaf woman named Free and a hearing woman, Maggie. Also in this cast of four is an Indian actor speaking Sanskrit. And the use of the economy now today of the email and texting world, it's this juxtaposition of all these languages and how people fall in love. It's regardless of gender or sexual orientation or even understanding. Aditi Brennan Khalil on the show today, the new play is called Love Person at Victory Gardens. Also, Richard Knight Jr., he's been waiting a long time to do this review. Little Ashes, that's right, for all you Twilight lovers out there. Robert Pattinson is playing Salvador Dali in a new film with lots of homoerotic stuff in it. So Richard Knight Jr. doing his review of Little Ashes. The news continues to be huge. I know earlier in this week we were talking about state by state what is happening from Iowa to Maine to New Hampshire. Gay marriage seems to be a snowball that's getting better, going down the RNC hill, much to their dismay, crashing into their little world. And also, we're going to tell you what's going on in the theater when I come back after we talk with Aditi as well. Just a few little teasers because the Tony Award nominations are out this week. And who are some of the people to watch? So we'll be back with all that.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
The United Methodist Church's Judicial Council has ruled that clergy cannot officiate at same-sex marriages, even in states where such unions are legal. The council's decision overturns resolutions from two regional groups, the California-Nevada and California-Pacific conferences, that supported clergy officiating the ceremonies.
A federal judge ruled that trans veteran Diane Schroer will be awarded a total of almost $500,000, including $300,000 for emotional pain and suffering, as compensation for the discrimination she suffered after the Library of Congress denied her a job.
Immigration Equality and the National Center for Lesbian Rights have filed a friend of the court brief urging the Ninth Circuit to rehear its decision in Martinez versus Holder. In March, the Court of Appeals denied asylum to Saul Martinez, a gay man from Guatemala who fled the country after he was reportedly beaten, sexually assaulted, and threatened by a Guatemalan politician and Guatemalan police because of his sexual orientation.
In Kentucky, Covington City Commissioner Stephen Meggerly, ex-Commissioner Jerry Bamberger, and former commission candidate Craig Johnson have pled guilty to using anti-gay campaign flyers against openly gay political opponent Sean Masters. The flyers contained personal information about Masters, who won his election, including his Social Security number.
Lesbian New York City Finance Commissioner Martha Stark recently resigned after charges were leveled that she had a romantic relationship with a female subordinate and hired relatives to work in her agency. Mayor Bloomberg requested an investigation into Stark's relationship with former Assistant Commissioner Dara Otley Brown. It is policy that city employees cannot date their bosses or subordinates.
Charles Pugh, an openly gay former anchorman, is running for Detroit City Council. Pugh, who is also black, is the first out candidate to pursue a position on the city council.
In Virginia, all three leading Democratic gubernatorial candidates, Brian Moran, Cray Deeds, and Terry McAuliffe, want to repeal the 2006 amendment that bans any recognition of gay relationships, even though they are all against same-sex marriage. McAuliffe is the former head of the DNC with close ties to Bill and Hillary Clinton.
And in world news, in Zimbabwe, gays are demanding to be recognized in the country's new constitution, which is currently being drafted. A member of the Gay and Lesbian Association of Zimbabwe said, "The purpose of a constitution is to protect vulnerable and marginalized minorities. In the past, Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe has described gays and lesbians as worse than dogs and pigs, saying homosexuality is un-African and a white man's disease."
In England, Neil Warner, Jonathan Wicks, and Kim Marrero, a contestant during the 2007 season of the talent show X Factor, were charged with attacking Kieran Dulai. Dulai, who became homeless after fights with his family over his sexual orientation, has alleged the trio insulted and poured detergent on him and beat him with a TV set, computer, and DVD player.
In entertainment news, Logo honors those who are transforming and defining tomorrow's pop culture with the second annual New Now Next Awards 2009. Premiering on Logo and streaming on logoonline.com on June 13th, the New Now Next Awards will be hosted by RuPaul.
Brady Greene has been convicted of stalking talk show and America's Next Top Model host Tyra Banks and was arrested at a restaurant near the New York City studio where Banks films the Tyra Banks show. Greene could receive 90 days in jail.
Heidi Klum wants to find Project Runway host Tim Gunn a date after he said he's been single for more than a quarter century. Gunn explained he has been too busy for romance, but Klum has said, "I have a lot of friends who really fancy him, and occasionally I lug them to the set, and they're really fantastic matches because I think I have a really good eye for that. But he's so focused on what he does." And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
It's spring, time for flowers to bloom and lovers to love and the Joffrey Ballet to dance. See the Joffrey Ballet's spectacular spring program, filled with romantic stories of young lovers, angels in a starry sky, and a wedding, all told in glorious dance, featuring Christopher Wheeldon's Carousel, set to music from the Broadway classic. Just 9 performances, April 29th through May 10th. Call 312-902-1500 or order online at Ticketmaster.com.
So who doesn't like a cute, cuddly bear? That's right. Bearapalooza is coming to Touche, 6412 North Clark Street, this Friday, May 8th, from 8:30 at night till 10 o'clock. It's only 5 at the door. And my buddy Mark Puri is going to be hosting. It's an evening of comedy and music with Kendall, Freddie Freeman, Jeff Altergott, Scott Free, and Tommy Johns. What a great evening to come out. You will enjoy it for sure. All talented artists. So, hey, nothing better to do on a Friday night than be with the sweet, cuddly bear. And if you don't live in the Chicago area, what's another bear thing you could do? Well, Mark will also be at Gay Days in Orlando. That's right. It's when all the homosexuals descend upon Walt Disney World. Don't they run Walt Disney World, the homosexuals? There's more at gaydays.com. And if you want more on all the bear events, visit bearapalooza.com because Bear Pride is right around the corner, Memorial Day weekend, along with IML. Gosh, get your tickets to come to Chicago now.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and this is your Night at the Movies Mega Minute. The folks at Tiny Regent Releasing must be beside themselves with excitement. With Little Ashes, a period drama set in Spain, they suddenly find themselves with a movie starring Robert Pattinson, the overnight sensation thanks to his star turn as the vampire in Twilight. I'm not sure how the teenage girl squealing over Pattinson will feel about his first film since he set millions of hearts aflame, but the actor's gay fans are in for a big treat. Director Paul Morrison's movie is a pleasurable old-fashioned romance. A gay one, with a good measure of art and politics tossed in between the passion. Little Ashes, set in 1920s in Spain, details the passionate art school friendship slash romance of surrealist painter Salvador Dali, played by Pattinson, and poet slash playwright Federico Garcia Lorca, played by newcomer Javier Beltran. Director Morrison prolongs the skittish love-sick courtship of these two budding artistic geniuses until finally the duo share a midnight swim underneath a thick liquid moon, culminating in a sensual kiss. But the physical act of lovemaking which follows is both too physically and emotionally painful for Dali. So even though he has constantly repeated his mantra, no limit, to Lorca, that's exactly what he places on himself, and he takes off for Paris, itching for notoriety. The film, based on Philippa Goslett's book, suggests that Dali lacked the courage of his own vision. He meant no limit, all right, but externally, not internally. We move forward 8 years, once again in Madrid, when Lorca has become a celebrity playwright and poet and has a new lover. The Dali that returns to him is the poser with the pasted-on mustache that would become world-renowned with the icy gala played by Arlie Jover in tow, now his wife. But Lorca rejects their none-too-subtle attempt at a three-way. It's Dali or the highway, apparently. Not long after, ignoring the political unrest that would soon erupt into a war, Lorca, who has become an emblem of democracy in Spain, is taken prisoner and executed by a band of terrorists. The film suggests that part of the reason for his execution had to do with his gay sexuality. So here we have another gay martyr for the history books, another fallen leader to mourn. Pattinson catches Dali's strange mix of insecurity and giant egotism with finesse, while Beltran, as Lorca, has the fire and passion of a young Antonio Banderas. Marina Gatell, as the duo's wealthy best gal pal, is fun, especially when she gets drunk and morose, as is Jover as the creepy yet fascinating Dala. Little Ashes follows in the path of other tragic gay period romance films, with its sumptuous cinematography in HD, no less. Gorgeous locations, moody storyline, and nicely shaded performances. Fans of Morris and the little scene Proteus will find plenty to satisfy their tastes. Whether or not that includes squealing teenage girls remains to be seen. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Mega Minute.
Now's your chance to see the mega hit Broadway musical, Legally Blonde, right here.
Oh my.
Take the journey with Elle Woods at the show New York Magazine calls a feel-good song and dance juggernaut. Legally Blonde.
Begins May 12th for 4 weeks only at the Ford Center Oriental Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 4th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Timeline Theater presents the Chicago premiere of Alan Bennett's Tony Award-winning drama, The History Boys. Packed with poetry, literature, and history, it's a thought-provoking play that tackles the anarchy of adolescence, the anxiety of sexual identity, and the purpose of education. Don't miss your chance to see this worldwide theatrical sensation. Visit TimelineTheater.com.
American Theater Company, in association with About Face Theater, presents Hedwig and the Angry Inch by John Cameron Mitchell and Stephen Trask, an award-winning rock musical about a young East German who gives up a little part of himself in order to escape communism for freedom in the U.S. Hedwig and the Angry Inch is playing now through May 31st at American Theater Company. Tickets at atcweb.org.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical, Million Dollar Quartet. It's now extended the Apollo Theater. Don't miss this show. For tickets to Million Dollar Quartet, visit Ticketmaster.com.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Harold Pinter's mysterious masterpiece, Old Time, starring Nick Sands, Linda Gillum, and Jenny McKnight. Enter into a daring game of competing memories where everything is at risk. Old Times runs now through May 31st at the Greenhouse Theater Center, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and information, visit remybumpo.org.
Magic, murder, Macbeth. Enter Scotland, racked by treachery and possessed by supernatural forces. A kingdom where loyalty is fatal, ambition is madness, and no motivation pure. Babes with Blades brings all-female Shakespeare back to Chicago. Don't miss Macbeth as you have never seen it before. Playing now through May 30th, visit babeswithblades.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, this is Candace Kane, and I'd like to say gorgeous, and thanks a lot for listening to Windy City Queercast.
There'll be girls across the nation that'll eat this up. Babe, I know that it's your soul, but could you bottle it up? Get down to the heart of it. No, it's my heart, your shit out of your luck. Don't make me tell you again, my love, 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 love. Love, 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 love. I am aiming to be somebody that somebody trusts. With a delicate soul, I don't claim to know. Start to make room for the parts that aren't you. It gets harder to bloom in a garden of love. Love, love, love. Love, 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 love. Only thing I ever could need. Only one good thing worth trying to be. And it's love, 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 love.
Heart pounding attraction. Intense all-night conversations. Love Person captures the giddiness of new love affairs, but the play is even more eloquently realistic about the wear and tear that time wreaks on relationships, says American Theater Magazine. Well, maybe we can all understand a little bit of that. Love Person is a Chicago premiere love story that takes a new perspective on this story of love. It uses four languages, two couples, and it includes gay and straight couples, and we see how they communicate and how communication breaks them apart, binds them together. Oh, the language of love. And I'm so glad to have the playwright, Aditi Brennan Kapil, here on the Queercast with me. Hey, Aditi, how are you?
Hi, Amy. I'm good. How are you?
Wow, you have written probably a play that transcends any language or sexual orientation or anything. I'm so excited to see this materialize on stage at Victory Gardens, which is a fantastic haven for new work, new voices, and diverse representation. So seems like the play, your play, and Victory Gardens were a perfect fit for you. What
it does
was the,
feel that way, yeah.
What was the inspiration for Love Person?
Oh, wow. Well, a few years ago, I was in a show with several deaf actors, and I was performing as a voicer for some of the deaf actors. And so I was learning a little bit about American Sign Language. And at the same time, I was researching Sanskrit. I'm part Indian, and I was researching Sanskrit for a different project. And I got it in my head that there was some kind of affinity between the two languages, and I thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting if two people could develop an affinity for each other, a liking for each other, perhaps even a love for each other, based on this similarity and understanding between their languages, and what an odd love story that would be, because in a practical sense, a deaf person and a person who uses Sanskrit, which is really, you know, a virtually obsolete language, are not likely to run into each other or be able to converse if they were to run into each other. So it was that little seed of an abstract notion that led to this play.
So what were, when you say you felt an affinity in studying Sanskrit and kind of being immersed around American Sign Language, what were the similarities or commonalities between the two?
There is a way that that people who know ASL, love ASL, and live in ASL speak about it that is it's just gorgeous. It's a very direct language. Something that you hear about ASL a lot is that you don't really, you may not use a lot of subtlety, but you are honest.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of say it the way it is, and it's more your facial expression than using words and softening your words and things like that that will get your meaning across. So it can be a very direct language. It's English, by contrast, has, I think, so many words. It's one of the hardest languages to learn because we have so many words. Our dictionary is literally just larger than most other languages. And a lot of synonyms and a lot of gradations of meaning and a lot of subtleties, which I actually love. As a playwright, I love that. But when you think about a language where someone looks at you and looks at your hat and goes, that kind of sucks on you. And you don't do that in English.
Right.
You know, you come up with other ways of saying it because that's more courteous. But sometimes you just want to hear that sucks, don't wear that, you know?
Yeah.
And so ASL has that going for it, just this incredible simplicity. I think when it was really clarified for me as I was on stage and the deaf actress performing this gorgeous monologue, performed a gorgeous monologue, and then glanced over and realized that her voicer was still desperately trying to get all the English out that corresponded to this beautiful poetic sign that she was doing. And she just shook her head and she said, oh, you poor thing, English is so hard. yeah, and then she kind of explained to us that, you know, she'd just done this gorgeous thing that was so potent, and here we were struggling to keep up with our many ands and ifs and buts and all these words that we have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sanskrit. I was reading up about Sanskrit, and I was just finding some material and some understanding for the history of the language, and I encountered a very similar description of Sanskrit to this description of ASL, where what they said essentially was, and some of this might be me extrapolating because it's been a while since I did this research, and I've since had many thoughts of my own, so I can't claim that this is directly from a source necessarily, but what it basically said was that Sanskrit in its pure original form, it is one of the first, you know, languages, one of the first written languages, and it's the root of all Indo-European languages, but it's, in its original form, it's incredibly simple and direct and poetic and doesn't require a lot of trimmings. And since then, it's obviously evolved into a bunch of European languages and the various Indian languages and all of this stuff, and they have moved on. But the original Sanskrit, I felt like, shared with ASL this sort of purity, this simplicity and directness of thought and feeling that a language that has, like English, for instance, that's evolved together with and borrowed from and has so many variations doesn't necessarily have.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're talking about, because another language that's used in the place, I mean, there's four languages. There's Sanskrit, there's ASL, there's English language, and then there's projected emails. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like everything but the English language, the emailing, the Sanskrit, and the ASL has a real economy of language.
Mm-hmm.
Those three that you're utilizing. Now, will you be... you know, we've seen in some other plays, I think it was Patrick Marber when Closer was first done. Are you projecting email on a screen? And how will you also deal with the lead deaf female character and the audience? How is that theatricalized, I guess?
The play is intended to be fully accessible and bilingual, by which I don't mean that we have access on the side, like an interpreter on the side or anything like that. It was built to be fully bilingual because it is about relationships between languages, and it just seemed to be thematically in keeping with the play to have it be, to just have it be artistically accessible rather than accessible. What the convention for the play is that there is this email component, and the designer, Jeff Bowers, created this gorgeous set where pretty much the entire set can be used as a projection screen, which is truly amazing. So it's incredibly accessible in terms of you don't just look off into a little thing on the side to find out. It's not like super titles or subtitles. It's more inside the world of the play than that. So for scenes in which, I would say for group scenes, the play exists the way it would in life, in the sense of there is one deaf character, and her partner, Maggie, is hearing. And so, as in life, her partner, Maggie, functions as her interpreter in a lot of their life together. In fact, this is part of their life together. This is part of their character journey that Maggie is frequently an interpreter for free. So the group scenes are fully integrated with their ASL. It is accessible in the way that life is accessible were you to run into a deaf friend at a party and someone were interpreting for her.
What you bring that up, and I'm as a part of the GLBT community and a part of the lesbian community, it really seems like the women's deaf community is very mobilized, very active. And yet I don't know that I've really seen them put on stage. Was that something that you were aware of before you started writing the play? You know, the choice to make the deaf character in a relationship with another woman? And if so, did you talk to deaf lesbians and kind of talk about what that world is like?
That's got kind of a double answer. I have a really good friend here in Minneapolis who is a gorgeous deaf performer, and she happens to be gay and has a partner who frequently interprets for her, as would be the norm. So I think in Minneapolis there's probably a slight misapprehension that I base this play on them, because there's kind of, I mean, they know we're friends, you know what I mean? I didn't necessarily base the play on them. However, the dynamic of their relationship is fascinating. And in terms of exploring language and relationships and growing apart and growing together, it's an incredibly powerful setup. So it's not that I wrote about my very good friends, Nick and Lisa. When you get right down to it, I don't know that much about anyone other than my own little world. So really, it's probably me and my relationships in that play, but in the garb of these characters. but it is a really... it is a really good dynamic for me. And I guess it didn't strike me as that odd to have a lesbian couple on stage, because in my world, there are lesbian couples. So I was like, well, here's just who I'll have. And it's not really about that. But what it ends up creating for the play is this great tension, because the Sanskrit scholar is male, obviously. And there's an element, there's a way that I can come at the subject without the interference of sexuality and make it just about that kind of language falling in love of the mind when these two people are not of the same sexual orientation. There's just a way that I can access the material and keep the focus where I want it. And it gave me so many interesting things to play with, to have the characters be of these particular persuasions.
That's interesting that you're saying, like, language defies sexual orientation. You know, we would maybe say what we've seen more often is gender defying sexual orientation, and here you are saying that two people, you know, because you'll hear people say, well, I'm not gay, I just fell in love with this person. And that's obviously been explored, some in film, some in television, some in theater. But it's interesting that you're saying it wasn't even about gender for me. It was truly just about language and love of language and the attraction, seduction of the power of language, even if it's not a common language, I guess, with your play.
Right. And the question also is, I mean, there's many, many different kinds of love, which many of them are in this play. And just because you fell in love with the fact that someone really understands you in that mm-hmm. deep poetic way, does that actually mean that that's who you want to be with for the rest of your life? Or is that just another kind of love? I do think that Free is completely and utterly gay. And, you know, so it's not that I'm, and by keeping it, by keeping her physical and active and real love focused on Maggie, but having this other thing draw her, it gives me a chance to explore the other levels of where you might fall in love, what might attract you to another person, what might draw you. There's a lot of me wanting to put opposites who absolutely do not belong with each other up against each other in this play and see what happens.
Yeah.
So there are couples that aren't supposed to become couples. There are couples that are absolutely couples. There are couples that unexpectedly found each other. And it was a dance between these four characters who each of them, there are no obvious matches between the four of them. In fact, if you really look at it pragmatically, there's no reason why a single one of them would have ended up with a single other one of them and been in the relationship for life with that person.
So talk to me about casting a show like this. You were in Chicago for the cast. Now, you've done the production before, and I should just say, you know, it was nominated for the Blackburn Prize, very prestigious. Also, the Pulitzer, pretty much everybody's heard of that, and the Steinberg Award. So obviously, it's had accolades of this is something new, exciting, you know, and that you've really tapped something here. But then finding actors that can bring this to life for you. Talk to me about that process, because I would imagine you need as much fluidity of your actors because of the fluidness of the stories in which they have to tell and the believability of, you know, this journey that they're all going through.
You do. You need some really gifted actors, and we are so lucky to have some really gifted actors at Victory Gardens right now, rehearsing this beast of a play. It's really hard. It's a really hard play to do because it is multilingual. You run up against the strangest challenges, like how do you cue yourself when all the lines that you're speaking in this scene are on a screen behind you, you know? How do you cue the deaf actors? How does the deaf actress cue the hearing actors? You know, it's got just a world of challenges. Then there's the ASL translation of the script, which involves a sign master, which is a whole other level. But casting the play is hard. This is its sixth production, and it's been a challenge every single time because you do need a deaf actress for this play, and it's something that I have to sort of go out there and advocate a little bit, because the fact is that I think that deaf actresses should have the work when there is work for a deaf actress.
Sure.
And also because no one is, frankly, as good at ASL as a deaf person.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you can hear actually makes you worse at ASL. It's one of those physiological things.
Mm-hmm.
And for this play to truly be a play in which the deaf character has this deep connection to her language and is so gorgeous within it, you need a deaf actress. That is the best person for the job. You also need an interpreter-level ASL proficient actress to play her partner, Maggie. It is an incredibly hard role because the person playing this role has to act, like literally act, her character, while at the same time serving in character as an interpreter for her partner.
Wow.
And it's an incredibly bizarre thing for the brain to do because interpreters are trained to give up their personality to whoever they're interpreting for. So it's really a challenging thing. And we have the very good fortune of a gorgeous interpreter level actress who is actually the child of deaf parents. And they say that, you know, there's no hearing person who is quite as good at ASL as the child of deaf parents.
Wow.
And then there's the fact that you need a really gifted Indian actor who can deliver beautiful poetic Sanskrit. There's four Sanskrit poems in the play that he has to deliver. And not that many people have studied Sanskrit in this day and age, frankly. So that's another challenge. And then, of course, the gorgeous, fabulous fourth actress who has to live in this world with all these people.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a beast to cast. It's quite challenging.
Well, it just sounds so intriguing. And I remember when hearing about this play being announced, just thinking, you know, how exciting. Like, I've never seen anything like this on stage. And, you know, the interesting thing for the lesbian community is that, you know, whatever you might think of it, maybe you didn't even watch it, but the L Word, which has ended now for us, had Marley Matlin on it for, you know, a couple of seasons and allowed, you know, a deaf actress, you know, to be on film with these other actresses and mm-hmm. for her to be interpreted through the various characters who somehow magically knew ASL. We never really explained how they did know it that well, but you know, the magic of television. But
isn't that an interesting coincidence? Yeah, I think that happened after I started writing the play, and I went, huh.
Funny. It's totally moments. Funny. My partner and I used to sit there and go, how does Jennifer Beals, who's her lover, how does Jennifer Beals know all this ASL? I mean, you know,
intuitive. It just comes to you.
Yeah, exactly. Through the power of, you know, big zeros on the end of your paycheck. But, you know, but I think that, you know, that's just to say that, like, and as I said, I've known a lot of deaf women, you know, and definitely at the Women's Michigan Music Festival and things like that. You know, there's always been a real, what's the word I'm looking for? Really an inclusion of the deaf community within the GLBT community. But it's exciting to see that kind of play out in a theatrical form, because to me, theater just really lets us go places that are so new and raw. That I enjoy more than film or television. Mm-hmm. Well, the show is not here for a very long time, folks. So you're going to kind of have to get your tickets before they're all gone. And I'm going to give you a couple of ways in which to do that. Love Person is playing May 15th through June 14th at Victory Gardens Theater. That's the new Victory Gardens Theater at 2433 North Lincoln Avenue. You're listening to this podcast, just go online. It's the easiest. I won't give you lots of phone numbers you can't remember. Just go to victorygardens.org. Simple, simple. If you call or get your tickets through the website, you can use the code word FRESH for $5 off each ticket. And they're having a big beer and pizza event on May 22nd if you want to go and do something a little social, maybe fall in love with some other people's language over beer and pizza. That is the language of love, at least in Chicago. So that's on May 22nd. But go to the website and don't miss the play. Aditi, what is next for you? I mean, you said there have been 6 productions of this. Are you one of those writers that's writing all the time?
I am pretty much. It's been really fun following this play around for a year, but mm-hmm. I think I have this new project that's on the verge of done, so probably my brain is going to move on a little bit to the next thing.
Yeah. Well, might we see you back in Chicago? Your home's in Minneapolis, correct?
It is, but I am for sure planning on being there for early previews, and mm-hmm. then right around opening, I'm planning on being there.
Well, it's a great...
So, yes.
It's a great home, and of course, the Tony Award-winning Victory Gardens Theater really has done so much for diversity of story, diversity of roles, and also inclusion of the GLBT experience, disabled experience. It's really an amazing home for new work. So, Aditi Brennan, Kapil, Break Legs. Hope we have a wonderful
Thank
opening,
you.
And I hope everybody will go out and catch Love Person.
Thank you.
Something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Deb,
Amy.
You need to go take an allergy pill and just breathe. Well, don't breathe, maybe. Go put a breathe easy on your nose. That would be sexy.
That's a pretty look, isn't it?
It is a pretty look. Are you following me on Twitter? You know now that, I don't know if we've talked since I'm Twittering.
I have. I saw you on Twitter, and I'm very proud of you for twiddling.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of you. And yes, I actually know what you do daily, almost daily now. And I have to say congratulations to the young man who put himself to the test of getting that prize money.
Oh, Ben Sprunger.
That's the last time we talked was I was wishing him good luck, and now I'm saying congratulations.
I know. I haven't even mentioned that. So let me mention, because I feel like everybody should be following me on Twitter, and all of you are not. So please follow me at Amy Matheny. She's just twitter.com/AmyMatheny. You don't even have to be a member of Twitter.
No, you don't, thankfully, because I'm not yet.
This is the difference with Facebook. If somebody says, follow me on Facebook, I have to become a member. You don't. You just have to go to twitter.com/AmyMatheny, and you can follow. You can read me and read who read who I follow. So everybody from the Tony Awards, where you'll see all the nominations that came out this week. Also, I've obviously am following the Miss Kutcher. She had a little stomach flu last week. Then she was watching a movie, still buying malaria nets. It's interesting. I got over her husband. He had way too many tweets for me. Some CNN, some Ellen DeGeneres, some Oprah. Some Dorothy Snarker, my favorite lesbian blogger. So Anderson Cooper, another cute gay guy, you know, just random cute gay guy. So you can definitely follow and read even if you're not tweeting. And the great thing is if you listen to this and you just follow me, I will always tell you when there's a new podcast, which you can immediately click and download. I will always tell you when there's a new Windy City Times paper, and you can choose to click and download that as well. So it's all very exciting. I like the Twitter a lot. It allows me to send out to you a good thought of the day, or also a download of the paper or a podcast. So that's really a good thing. And also things like my jaw dropped when Heidi Klum was taking off her dress on the Ellen show.
Yeah, there's a beautiful sexual tension between
the two. Oh, my God. Those two should just go and fuck already. Like, I know. And Seal would watch and probably be fine with it.
I'm sure.
She's like her stand-in for Sharon Stone, which the If These Walls Could Talk made me kind of uncomfortable. But I don't think Heidi Klum would make me uncomfortable with Ellen. So there you go.
Nope, me neither.
Okay. So the Tony Awards are June 7th. And it is the highest award show for the GLBT community. It is our award show.
It is, isn't it? It really is.
It's truly the gayest thing that comes on television. But, and let me just get the gayest award out there off my chest. Super, super big congratulations to Liza at the Palace for, a special theatrical event. And of course, anything with Liza is a special theatrical event. So she has to be a shoo-in for that one. Billy Elliot winning a lot of nominations. Definitely, that's a big deal. People always love that Angela Lansbury is she 110, is nominated for a featured actress in a play. Who can even imagine that? That's just crazy. Best leading actress in a musical, Mr. Steven Rader will be very excited that Allison Janney was nominated for The Lovely 9 to 5.
One of the funniest women ever.
Yes, as was Alice Ripley, who is the person everyone's talking about in the new musical Next to Normal, which has really kind of come and been a dark horse here in the in this theater season. Also, I have to say, one I think a very sexy actress and an amazing actress, British actress Janet McTeer, is nominated for Best Leading Actress in a Play. And I'm sure the boys will love that Raul Esparza, also nominated for Best Leading Actor in a Play. He's very sexy. So, you know, some things that are missing. 9 to 5 is missing. 9 to 5 is missing.
No nomination at all? No, not at all? I mean,
well, it is. It is just not nominated for Best Musical. Best musical is Billy Elliot, Next to Norm, Rock of Ages, and Shrek. I have a friend actually in Rock of Ages, which is kind of cool. 9 to 5 is nominated for Best Score. So Dolly, her contribution definitely awarded, because who doesn't want Dolly Parton to come to the gayest award show in the history of award show, right? That's why you give that one.
And she is a great songwriter. Like, she's great.
Yeah, it just looks like it there were, you know, I mean, it's obviously got some, but I think that it is a very it's a very obvious omission that it is not nominated for Best Musical. So, you know, they're out. If you follow me on Twitter, you can see all of them. You'll have to scroll back a little bit, but because by the time you get there, I will have tweeted a lot, so we'll have many other people. But that's easy to do too. You just scroll right on down and read till your little heart's content. You know, I am following Helen Mirren.
Yes, you would be.
And I think right after I started following her, she has not tweeted since. I think she's scared of what is the obvious connection.
Well, I mean, you don't want to tempt fate. You don't want to play with, you know.
Once, oh, I do.
Okay, you do.
I do want to tempt. I do want to play with anything that is on her person.
Did you get her, like you have so many times in your mind? Did you communicate with her? Or did you start following her and looking at her?
Oh, I just started following her. Right now it's the slow stalk of the chase, but she has left the jungle. She has left the jungle.
So can you give people little shout outs on tweet, or is it just a one way street?
No, well, I can, and you can respond to me, but I don't think that if you respond to me and I am not following you, then it won't show up for other people.
Okay.
You cannot respond to something that I put up on.
Right.
On tweet, unless you directly email me, obviously.
Right.
But I can give shout outs. Who would you like me to tweet a shout out to somebody?
Well, I just love the idea of it. I think I just want to see my name on Twitter. I want you to say, where in the world is Deb Pierce? Because I'm not on it yet. I don't even know. I think I'd feel overwhelmed with it. Although Facebook is overwhelming to me now. So maybe I should abandon Facebook and pick up the Twitter.
All right. So I am...
Are you doing it right now?
Uh-huh. So here is your shout.
You got your typing voice on where you
talking
pause.
Talking to Deb Pierce, recording a podcast here.
Yay.
Yeah, you only get 140 characters. I don't know that I'm the best at, like, figuring out what those...
Everything's about,
and it was 69 characters, Deb. I just want you to know that.
Oh, dear.
You guys can count if you'd like. So now if you go to twitter.com/AmyFeeney, there I am giving Deb her
shout-out. I'm
going to
go and I'm going to have a look. Can I tell you the significance also for me and 69?
I don't know. I think we all have our own little place our head goes, but you go ahead. Well, we know where the head goes, but.
In less than a month. On this date, June 3rd, 1969, I was born. I'm going to be 40.
That's right.
I was even born in the year 69. I said that on my head. I actually got on my head to have that conversation with you so that I was, yes.
Well, we're going to have to celebrate that big time when you're here.
Okay.
To plan a little something.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
40 years old. God, it's such a state of mind because I don't feel whatever. I shouldn't say I don't feel it because I'm not sure what 40 is supposed to feel like, but I got to tell you what, I just feel very young.
Well, you are very young.
I am very young-minded. Very
40 is like the new 25, don't you think?
I would like to think so.
Yeah.
I'll work with that. My partner says she's going to trade me in for 220s.
She's going to trade you in for 220s. Oh, you are too cute. Well, everybody, we are officially announcing Deb Pierce will be here for the finals June 13th. And also
Yay!
That we will be giving away a prize to somebody in our audience. All you have to do is show up that night. And we're going to be giving away a trip for two to Toronto at the finals June 13th. We will also be giving away a trip for two to Toronto on May 30th. So that's very exciting. Two opportunities to win. Plus, at both of those, you can win Designing Women DVDs. Once again, the gayest DVD that could ever come out.
Yeah, great.
So, you definitely don't want to miss the Windy City Gay Idol. There is still a chance. There's a couple more chances, three to be exact. We're going to be at Atmosphere on May 14th. And then coming up on May 20th, I believe, we're at Atmosphere. And then May 28th is our wild card at Roscoe's. And then that's it, folks. That's all she wrote. And we are off to the races May 30th at the semifinals. So... I'm not trading Deb in for 220s yet. I'm not doing a financial exchange. I just want her to get her butt here.
I will get my butt there. And good luck to everybody competing.
Yeah.
Good luck to everybody.
And I just want to say that was a jam-packed show. I'm glad that you didn't take your cold medicine before we recorded. That's awfully fun. And
no NyQuil for me, baby. I'm still wide awake.
There you go. And everybody follow me. Do like Deb does and follow me on Twitter. You don't have to join the world.
If I tell you about it?
You what?
Is it stalking if I tell you about it? Spider stalking, perhaps?
I don't know if it's stalking if I'm asking you to follow me. It's not like Tyra Banks, guy who got arrested this week. It's like, I don't think she said follow me.
No, I think she said don't, and they did. Well, yeah, it's twitter.com/AmyMatheny. It's very easy. If you feel intimidated by it, don't. I've got on there, and I'm not even a member yet.
Yeah, my girlfriend told me last night while we were brushing our teeth, I think I'm going to join Twitter. She's kind of over Facebook. So
yeah, Facebook's
I'm like,
yeah,
it's, I guess that's what she feels too. So, yeah. You know,
it's good for doing events. But I just, you know, I don't, it's a lot. And I find myself a little overwhelmed by it, which sounds a little bit pathetic, but I have like 158 event invitations I'm supposed to have a look at. I won't probably make it to me. I'm going to get to two of them.
Yeah.
But you get all these event requests and friend requests. I don't know who you are.
Yeah. Well, I don't care. What I love about Twitter is when people tell me they're following me, like James, who's one of our Idol semifinalists. I just mentioned one night that I had a Twitter and he immediately started following me. And I love it because then I can go and look on their page and I don't have to even, I could look on their page whether I was following them or not. But, you know, sometimes people are following me and I think it's just because I said a certain word or I talked about a certain story. Like some people may be following anybody who mentions Heidi Klum and they just find you. Now, I don't have
a
ton of followers.
You're kind of a big deal, Matheny.
You what?
You're kind of a big deal.
No, I don't have that many followers.
Oh.
I've only been doing this for about a week and a half and I don't have that many followers. I only have about 30 something. So,
we'll see how that number grows.
Yeah. So everybody follow me. But it means you have to be a member of Twitter. If you're officially following me.
Right.
But you can definitely, I give you some bang for your buck. I definitely tell you where I'm going, what I'm doing. Like I said, pushing out our products, which makes it super simple for you to download shows and download papers. And I usually give a quote of the day. So, you know, go back.
It's
going to
be BT and AT before Twitter and after Twitter. This is going to be a landmark for you.
Oh, it totally is. I like it. I like it a lot. I just like to say Twitter, too. It's just,
I know. Where's
the
origin of that? I saw
Facebook
and Diddy on Larry King, but I didn't get the origin of the name.
It's birds. I mean, it's about these simple communications between birds. That's why the bird is also the logo.
Oh.
And so
I knew you'd know.
There you go. I'm a Kia, my girlfriend calls me, and know-it-all. I know it all. And if I don't, I'll pretend like I do.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't, make it up and look like you know what you're talking about.
Exactly. Deb Pierce, have a great week and weekend with all the gay travelers.
Thank you very much. Yeah, the IGLTA, and I'm doing the event at the end of the week on a Saturday. And what's interesting, with the free admission on Friday at the event, it's being held at our Maple Leaf Gardens. Of course, the Toronto Maple Leafs don't play out of there anymore. It's not even open anymore, and it's been met with... It's been, over the years, fraught with a bit of scandal. I've seen many a concert there, and now all the gays are going to be taking it over on Friday night in Toronto on Church Street, so it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you got to love that. I loved it when the gay games we took over were Soldier Field and Wrigley Field within the span of like 10 days. It's like, it's end times, those conservatives think. End times happening.
Yep.
You don't even know what end times are, do you?
It's a big weekend, and Amy Matheny, you will be missed. I will toast to you, but just one drink.
Please toast to me. I'll toast to you from Tees.
Okay. I can't wait. Promise you'll take me there, I guess?
Promise. Lee's already got you a double whatever Miller Lite product.
Oh, my God. What is that drink that she... Yeah,
like a
that's
double
right.
pint. Like, it's so much beer, it's bigger than your head.
It was bigger than my head. You've got a picture of it.
I do. It's crazy.
I can't wait to come to Chicago.
Can't wait either. And everybody, I have to tell you, I know you can't wait. Mitchell Fain is calling us from a port somewhere. I don't know. Wherever the big Norwegian cruise ship is landing. Next podcast, next week, Mitchell Fain and I just catching up. We'll find out what he's been doing, who he's been sleeping with, and what he's seen. Because it's Mitchell around the world, which is so much better than Matt from the Today Show. Where is he now? I don't know, but he's going to be on the podcast with me next week. And it's been a long time, and I miss my Mitchell. So we all have that to look forward to. All right, everybody. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at AA.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our QueerCast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueerCast.com and iTunes. The next QueerCast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City QueerCast, queer and now.